podcast. We're going to continue today's podcast by looking at the subject of our money and our finances, and we're going to do that through the parable of the talents, as it is known originally, but actually in the New International Version translation, which is updated based on some good research. We have it called the parable of the bags of gold. But let me go back and review part of Connie's question that we started to get into last time, but we want to get into a little more specifically and directly in today's podcast. So Connie writes in to me, "Pastor, are we considered rich and condemned if we are saving money, being responsible with money, and preparing for the future?" And she asked if I could answer that in the context of this parable. So, first of all, let me just deal with the question, are we considered rich and condemned if we are saving money, being responsible with money, and preparing for the future? It sounds like a loaded question, like there's one way to answer it. And of course, we would think that saving money, being responsible, preparing for the future is the wise and proper thing to do. So let's take a look at this parable and see what it has to say to us and see if indeed there is something we're missing or something more that we need to look at when it comes to this question. Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14 and continuing on through verse 30. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey." Now, when Jesus says "it," he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. "So the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you have entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with 2 bags of gold also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow, that's a pretty harsh end for the man who had 1 bag and hid it in the ground, isn't it? It makes us feel like, ooh, are we going to be condemned and shut out by God? Certainly the master in this parable represents God and how he deals with people. Because that language is so harsh and interesting, that the servant will be thrown into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have to say, Connie, that this parable is about a lot more than just money. Even though money is the metaphor and the image, it really represents everything that God has given to us, including our time, our energy, our talents, our resources, our relationships, even maybe the measure of spiritual gifting that God has given to us. And the point is that everything that we have belongs to God. It doesn't really belong to us. So that's the first principle of the parable. So while I think this parable talks about a lot more than just money, I'll try to focus on money, Connie, so that we can dig into that specifically in this case. Whatever God gives to us, including our finances And how do we get our finances? Well, it's our ability to work, right? Our creativity. Sometimes it's our personality. It's our relationships. It's our connections that get us the job. I mean, none of us manufacture money out of thin air. We get money based on the skills and gifts and talents and personalities and connections and relationships that God has given to us. So, our money then comes from the things that God has given to us. Therefore, our money comes from God. We must remember that it is His and not ours. So if we are trying to use it in a way that we think it's our money to use, then we've already gotten off on the wrong step. So we back up and realize that God has given us everything, including our money. So then what does God want us to do with it? With everything He's given us, even our money? He wants us to invest it. Invested in what? Invested in the kingdom of heaven. Invested in the things of God. Invested where it makes difference in the lives of people. And yes, increase it. So if He's given us a gift, we should go to school to get more knowledge. We should do whatever we can to multiply what God has given to us. And that includes our money. So I would say this parable talks about investing our money, about using our money for the kingdom of God, about, you know, putting our money to work, not just hiding it. In this parable, the master says, even if you just had put it in a bank and got interest on it, that would have been better. You know, even doing something small with it is better than doing nothing with it. So when you ask Connie about having money, saving for the future, preparing for the future, I think those things are what God wants us to do. But He also wants us to live in the present and use our money to invest in others and to invest in the kingdom of God right here and now. But if He calls us to invest and make more money, then we have more money to use for the kingdom of God. I believe that God, because He provided us our money in the first place, will continue to provide for everything that we need. For even that saving that you do, that investing you do, that planning for the future, God is the one who holds your future. God is the one who prepares us for our future and provides for us in our future. And I hope that everyone listening today, Connie, myself, and everyone, would remember to trust in God's provision, that He has given us everything that we need, that we need to use what He has given us to bless others, and that He will continue to give us provision and blessing as we serve Him. I guess the warning is for those of us who don't recognize that this comes from God, and we hide ourselves away and we live in fear and we don't do anything with what God has given to us. So when it comes to money, God wants us to do something with it. Invest it, use it, multiply it, make it so that it can become as much of a blessing to others as it possibly can. Again, I hope this encourages you all. Today, let us remember to give thanks to God for what He's given us, and let us remember to take what He's given us and to invest it, multiply it, use it wisely, whatever it is, for the kingdom of God, for His sake and for His glory. Be sure to join us next time as we continue on in Convos with Connie.